comics,
movies,
music,
video games,
technology,
Blu-ray,
television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Transformers: Age of Extinction.
I'm glad you added the colon, Aaron.
I just want to be appropriate for the show. Now roll out!
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction!
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe! Hola!
Out Now is a film podcast. Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We have fun covering various movie topics with a main, mostly spoiler-free review sandwiched right in the middle. This is episode 157. 157.
Yeah. Is that 12? 13!
13.
Yeah.
And the main feature for the week is Transformers: Age of Extinction. Transformers: Age of Extinction.
We don't want to get a fine.
Those classic fines that come up for podcasts that don't pronounce movies right. But yeah, talking about the latest from Michael Boom Boom Bay. And joining us tonight, we have a man constantly dealing with the Romeo and Juliet laws despite simply wanting to find love, Alan Aguilera.
I don't understand all the discrimination against it. I'm just trying to find some love. That's it.
And a newlywed trying to get over the fact that his wife once dated Grimlock, it's Jordan Grout.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Better before he found out that his wife was dating Grimlock.
Wait, which one was Grimlock?
I don't know either.
The T-Rex one.
Oh. Oh, I'd be okay with that.
Well, that explains a lot.
Glad the wife is in the background, by the way. Nothing makes this better than that. Having that live audience of one.
Insert laugh track here.
But let's see, let's get some announcement stuff here. First off, Alan, you're not with us anymore in California. You moved away.
I am on an East Coast boy now. Not only East Coast, I'm eastbound and down. So I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Cut to title sequence. Yeah.
I thought you were just on vacation.
Negative, bro. I moved out here.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, ruining the chances for Alan and Jordan to actually meet in real life at some point.
We did.
Oh, yeah. You did? Okay, good. Never mind.
Yeah.
You were there.
Made an appearance.
Yeah, you were kind of there.
I was there. That's right. I brought you guys. I forced
Come
you
on.
Together.
Yeah. Alan, how goes your Comic-Con travels? Are you going to come back?
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm gonna come back for July. Yeah, I mean, I kind of have to, if not, Aaron's gonna be real staying. Pissed
we're,
at me.
We're bunking together.
Ah, bunking. Yeah.
No, if I don't go, then that's gonna be real expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it's fine. I just moved here a couple days ago, so I'm still trying to get used to everything. Like, I don't even have my car, or any of my stuff, I just have my duffel bag until 2 days from now, so, should be pretty fun, just living out of a duffel in the South. You know, pretty cool.
People are going to laugh at you when you bring your Prius there. They're going to be like, what's that? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I've been here for 5 days and I've counted to 3 Priuses. Just 3.
What else? iTunes reviews and ratings. Good to get those. Helps out the show. We got a new review, actually, on the old iTunes page here. I want to read this one. This one says, I came across this podcast via Twitter. It's great. I love that they talk about movies without spoiling them. Both Aaron and Abe seem to have pretty close movie tastes that I have. Although, A Bug's Life is way better than Ants, just saying.
Thank you.
He's wrong, but that's fine.
So, did he give you less stars for that, for being wrong? I'm just curious, because people who don't agree with that.
We actually got 6 stars, which is weird.
6 stars?
Yeah, it's an anomaly. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, clearly someone thinks Ants is better than Bug's Life. They don't understand the realm of logic. That's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that review.
I think I flipped it around.
As in, you don't know which one's which, or?
You know, the southern humidity is getting to me. I think that's what it is.
Okay, well. Anyone can go on iTunes and give us a review or rating. It helps out our show, helps other people find our show, and, you know, just makes us feel better all around, regardless of the actual, you know, the quality of said rating. We did, you know, it's nice to get the notice in some form from listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's move on now. Let's get to know everybody. Where each week we, Abe and I ask everybody a few questions to try to better get to know everybody. And with that, Abe, why don't you start this one off?
All right, this question is for everybody. If you guys went up to a giant alien spaceship and came back with one enhancement, what would it be?
See, now...
I didn't know Optimus could fly.
He flew the last movie, but he needed, like, wings. Now he has, like, just...
Now he's got, like, ankle rocket boosters.
Yeah.
You were amplified.
The immediate answer, I thought, to your question, which makes no sense, was laser teeth, but I have no idea what that means.
Laser teeth?
You said some kind of enhancement. I'm like, laser teeth. That's like, popped into my face. I don't know.
You could never smile. You'd be like Scott Summers with your mouth.
Well, he can't control because he had an accident, Dave.
That's right. He got hit in the head when he was a kid, so he can't control. A
skydiving accident. So one of those, one of those classic incidents.
Was it skydiving or was it his parents push him out of the plane kind of thing?
I mean, they both involve skydiving.
I want a higher self-esteem.
I like that. Something intangible, but very, very needed, right?
Jordan, any thoughts on this?
Oh, I would have spinning nipples. Like, crazy spinning nipples. Like, they'd spin so fast I could fly.
Watch out, don't put tassels on them. You'd get tons of $1 bills.
That's the likely result.
Yeah. That's the logic.
All right, I have a question.
Yes.
What was your favorite toy when you were younger?
A pop down, pop head up Raphael Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I remember that.
Figurine. Like you push his head down, and you pull, and you put his legs together, and his head pops back up.
I remember that.
Probably the Ecto-1 from my Ghostbusters toys.
The Ghostbusters toys?
Yeah, no, my Ecto-1.
Ecto-1.
Yeah. I had the place. I had the Ecto-1 and I had the actual firehouse. And it had like the pole, like the fireman pole, which was just kind of like.
You had to put like that slime up the top.
It had a grate in the top, so you put the slime on it and it kind of like ooze in. It was pretty sweet. Brought all the ladies over.
I fucking loved my Ghostbusters toys.
Brought all the ladies over, right, yeah. No, you can't play with my toy!
What?
That's me in.
That's you doing your Jackson 5 impression?
Yes.
How much heck?
Jordan, do you have a favorite toy?
Batman Returns Batmobile.
The Batman Returns Batmobile, did it? So it got smaller? Like the sides break off?
Yeah, it was awesome. I would run it through the kitchen and cause my mom to trip on it.
Okay.
Those were the glory days.
And Jordan, since you insisted on having a question, do you have one?
Oh, no, I don't have one.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for wasting all of our time.
Oh, the 2 seconds. Oh, yeah.
Those 2 seconds matter, man. We're in a tight ship around here.
Oh, wait, I do have a question.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Continue.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so then, there you go. That's how you play.
No,
everybody. Let's move on now. Let's get down to quickies.
Jim.
Each week and out now we have one main movie of the week, but we have other movies that we talk see during the week, so we have another segment that we held out on a quick.
Jim.
Alright. Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I haven't seen anything new this week, but I got a copy of William Eubanks' Love, so I'm excited to see that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Jordan, have you seen any other movies this
week? I watched Under the Skin.
Under the Skin, the Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I bought it on iTunes, which was probably a mistake, because I thought it was okay. I didn't really crazy about it. But maybe I need to give it another chance.
Yeah, we were talking about this little off-air where it's one that certainly kind of sits with you and might benefit from, like, another viewing or so. It's just, it is weird.
Yeah. When it ended, I kind of thought, well, okay. and then I went to bed. I didn't care about it, so we'll see.
What about visually, though, on a visual level? Because the movie is quite experimental with what it's doing on its cinematography.
I wasn't really impressed with the visuals, actually. They were, you know, weird, but it didn't, like, blow me away. I just wasn't impressed at all with the film.
All right. Alan?
I just saw Jersey Boys and How to Train Your Dragon 2. Jersey Boys was kind of lifeless, but, you know, whatever. And then How to Train Your Dragon 2 was really cool. I really liked it. A lot of twists and turns. I haven't seen very many, like, niche movies lately, so I've been busy.
Well, it's not out niche with Aaron and Abe, so it's fine. You can see whatever you want.
Well, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is very good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you saw it. I mean, you got a good movie. There you go.
Yeah,
that almost makes up for Jersey Boys, really.
Jersey Boys!
That movie was pretty bad. There was no soul in that film at all. It was rad. I was like, wow, alright, good job, Clint.
I know. I guess you could say that they didn't get on up. Am I right?
Is that a song they sing?
No.
That's the next biopic movie that's coming out by James Brown.
It's the James Brown movie that has nothing to do with Jersey Boys.
But I'll bet you it has more soul.
Moving on.
Alright.
Does he have ants in his pants and does he want to dance?
He wants to do the mashed potato.
That's nobody's mashed potato. Anyway.
Okay. I've seen a few things, but I'll limit it to one. Mainly because I think we'll talk about Snowpiercer on a different show because that movie deserves lots of discussion and people should see it. But I will talk about. I will talk about They Came Together. This is a new movie from David Wayne, of The State and Wet Hot American Summer fame. And anyone that likes either of the two things I just mentioned should immediately go see They Came Together, which is on VOD now. It has Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd, and like anybody that you think is funny that's currently working in the movie, because they have a lot of comedic friends and they know how to get them to be in the movie. And it's a romantic comedy that's a satire on romantic comedies. Think something like Hot Fuzz that's a satire on action movies. That's what They Came Together is, except in the style of David Wayne, who has this kind of absurdist humor that makes me laugh quite a bit. But like everybody, there's so many like people in the, it's ridiculous how many like comedic actors are in this movie, which I'm just, I assume they made for nothing and just were like, let's just make this, let's just get this going, guys. And it's hilarious. It has all the tropes of every romantic comedy, and it's just like skewed and turned on its head, and Poehler and Rudd just fantastic together.
That's only $6.99 to rent.
Yeah, it's cheap too. Oh, yeah, I rented it on Amazon, and it was just hilarious. Just joke after joke after joke.
I'm gonna watch it today.
It's certainly a certain style of comedy. So like again, if you like Role Models, because that's a David Wayne movie, or Wet Hot American Summer, or The State, or even what was that one, Wanderlust, which has its moments. Like this is that style of comedy, and it was really funny. I was laughing a lot. And somehow that's not in theaters. Like, that's the movie that you can't sell into theaters. Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler.
And
everybody else that's currently funny on TV or in movies is in this movie. And it's like, no, we can't do this. Like, that's...
If you think Aaron's joking, he's not. Check out the trailer. Like, every funny person.
Oh, my God. including Chris Maloney, who's absolutely hilarious. Like, I'm glad that he's not SVU, because that means he can just be funny now, because he's super funny. It's like, that's why I'm waiting for John Hamm to end Mad Men, because then he can just be funny, because he's super funny also. It's like,
he is also funny.
I want to see these guys just be in funny movies, because that's what they're
doing. Or I guess you could say he's a funny bloke.
Like, John Hamm's great on Mad Men, but he's a funny guy. Like, I want to see his comedy career take off. But yeah, They Came Together. That's what that one's called. So that's it, now, quickies.
Tim?
To move on now, let's get to our trailer talk, where we discuss a new movie trailer, what we thought of it, when it's coming out, and what have you. And this week we have Fury, a new World War II tank drama starring Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman, Michael Pena, and John Bernthal of Walking Dead fame. And it basically revolves around Brad Pitt leading a crew of men on tanks is it in Germany or is it in Italy? Somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I'll just say Germany. Why not?
Sure.
Fighting against Nazis. I don't know if he wants as many scalps this time, but he's fighting against Nazis. And this is from director David Ayer, who previously stunned Nobody with Sabotage earlier this year, but does have his credits with writing Training Day and doing End of Watch, which we all like quite a bit, I think, actually. And yeah, so that's Fury. What did we think of this trailer? Let's start with Jordan.
I'm having trouble remembering anything from the trailer. It's so forgettable. I remember being surprised that Shia LaBeouf was in it, because he's not in the trailer at all. Maybe for like a
he's
second,
got like a couple seconds, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a holdover from like 2000. So, I don't know if I'll see it.
Alan?
Well, I want to see it. It looks like what a big like American studio would do if they had Inglourious Basterds like to remake in 20 years. So it's like, yeah. We'll just have like a Brad Pitt lookalike and something, and he has a weird accent, and he just shoots things with tanks. It'd be great. It'd be perfect. Let's do that. I'm gonna watch it because I love Brad Pitt, and I forgot the Sabotage came out already, and I'm still excited for that movie. So,
it is not good.
I was like,
good.
Oh my god, Sabotage sounds awesome. That already came out.
That is not a good movie. Jordan, stop hurting your wife on the call.
But you know, I'll watch it. I don't really hate on things until I watch them afterwards, and I'm like, oh, it's all hate. Looks interesting. I mean, what else am I gonna do? It's in November, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Abe,
you can go to a basketball game. That's for sure.
I don't like basketball. I don't trust any sport where you can score over 100 points. Can't do it. I can't get into it.
You must love darts then, just... right?
What's that?
You must love darts then, because you go down from 100.
I like darts because you get like a sharp thing and you throw it at something. That's fun to me.
That sounds like the target audience are Transformers.
Yeah.
Right. Abe?
I have my, I guess my reservations about it too because of David Ayer's last work. He has like on and off moments, which I hope this is an on moment because I'm a fan of Brad Pitt as well. But for the most part, I don't want to really get my hopes up. I mean, some of the action scenes look pretty amazing and pretty intense, especially when these guys are sitting at a table and they just get blown away. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the story seems a little bit almost too ridiculous at times as well. So we'll see.
Like, what about it seems ridiculous? I'm curious.
I think that they're going to have a standoff, as like maybe like a last standoff, in a tank while being surrounded by other tanks. So, yeah, I guess we'll see.
All right. Yeah, I agree with the David Ayer assessment where I do think he's on and off, and I would hope that he's on because I think he's proven that he's capable of doing good work quite a bit. It's just when it's bad, it can be really bad. But I like this cast. I like the idea, the concept, just because I haven't seen a lot of, you know, tank combat films beyond what, like, Courage Under Fire, maybe?
Exactly.
that's like the one that I can think of. There's probably some older ones, too, from, like, the 50s that I'm not thinking of, or even the late 40s, and like Burt Lancaster or somebody. But, I mean, yeah, I like what I'm seeing so far, and I like to be cautiously optimistic about it. And it's a November release, so I'm thinking, so somebody thinks this looks good. They're putting it during Oscar season, so we'll see.
Maybe it had Schwarzenegger in it.
Well, he'd play a tank. He'd be like he'd play the enemy tank.
He's the Austrian tank. Like,
what if that happened? What if Arnold Schwarzenegger finally caved in and is like, you know what, guys, I'm going to play a Nazi villain for once and just like went for it?
People would not be surprised.
It'd be like in Last Action Hero 2, when he played like Hamlet the first time, this time he plays like Hitler. And like in his version, he wins. The Counter and Glorious Bastards, where like Hitler just gets murdered, like we're in the
theater, with all the other guys.
Downfall to Rise Up.
Thank you. Yes. That was anyway. A good movie title.
Anyway, Fury hits theaters November 14th, which makes it a very crowded November so far. A lot of things coming out then. So yeah, that's that. Let's move on now. Let's get to our main film review, our film event. Let's go and get our Transformers, Mega Spectacular, but it's the Megatron Spectacular, right? Here it is.
Galvatron.
The Galvatron Spectacular. My bad. I'm sorry. But anyway, here we go. Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Falling.
After all we have done, humans are hunting us. But I fear we are all targets now.
What is that?
Who sent you here? This is not war. It's human extinction. Must be sacrificed.
Gotta have faith, Prime. Maybe not in who we are. And who we can be.
Okay, so that should have been some of the trailer for Transformers: Age of Extinction. This is the latest robot-smashing adventure for Michael Boom Boom Bay, which is both a sequel and a semi-reboot for the series as it continues on with a storyline set after the events of the third film, Dark of the Moon, but does so with a new cast of human characters led by Mark Wahlberg as Cade Yeager, overprotective single father, Texan, and terrible inventor. He gets caught up in a war against Transformers headed by the evil Kelsey Grammer and an even more evil Transformer mercenary named Lockdown. And with Cade Yeager, that's a fun name that I'll never stop saying, Cade Yeager's help, Optimus Prime and his Autobots will do all they can to stop the threat against this their kind. Jordan Grout, was this film more or less than meets the eye?
It's my favorite of the series so far. And I kind of really love this movie. It's so ridiculous. And I think if it were an hour shorter...
Yeah.
I think it could have like really been an almost like perfect summer movie. I just had a blast with it. I don't know why so many people in my theater really hated it. People walked out like spewing like venom at it.
After they spent like $17.50 on it. So.
Well, $8.50. This is Petaluma.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how it is in LA, but
movies in Charlotte don't play past 10 ever.
Yeah,
the latest showing you can find for How to Train Your Dragon was 8:45.
North Carolina Tibbs with Alan.
Yeah, it's the same here in Petaluma, but it's something that I would love to go watch in IMAX. I've heard that it's pretty great, and there are moments in this film which I found like genuinely thrilling, like when they're crossing the cables to the two buildings.
Yeah, from like a giant spaceship to the Willis Tower in Chicago.
Yeah, I love that scene. That was probably my favorite moment in the entire film. And the acting, like you said before, was actually not bad at all, from the adults at least. From the kids, you know, it wasn't that great. But I thought Wahlberg was a lot of fun. Tucci was great. Kelsey Grammer was great.
Titus Welliver, solid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What else has he been in?
He's Gone Baby Gone. He's in all of Ben Affleck's movies, actually. Yeah. he was on. He's known as the smoke monster on Lost as well. That's a big thing that he's known for. Oh. But he was in Deadwood back in the day. He's just a solid character actor. It's like if you can't get J.K. Simmons, you get Titus Welliver. That's kind of what I think.
That's who they should cast as J. Jonah Jameson in the next one. Then
Titus Welliver. There you go. Yeah. Done.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, and my problem with the other Transformers films, it always felt like Michael Bay really didn't care about the Transformers, because it seems like the humans did everything and the Transformers just, you know, portrayed as dumb beings. But in this one, it finally felt like, oh, the Transformers are actually, you know, kicking ass, and it's not all about the humans, and it seemed like he was having fun with it. And, you know, one of my complaints is that, you know, there's just too many ideas in this movie, too many things going on, and it didn't need to be as convoluted as it was.
Or 166 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that adds to it.
Yeah.
That's why. It's just too much.
Cool. Alan?
I don't think I liked it as much as Jordan. I think my expectation was... Part 3 was ridiculous, but in all the right ways. And it was just stupid. It was so stupid, and I loved it. But with this one, it's like, oh yeah, you're kind of ridiculous, but not as much as I wanted you to be. I do like that Michael Boom Boom Bay decided to do a little spin with the smart girl and glasses, or the hot girl put glasses on her, you know, she's smart. But this time he did it with Mark Wahlberg, so I thought that was good on Tinder. I think that's a good, nice little pitch on Tinder equality, so good job, Boom Boom Bay. I just dug it. I thought there were a lot of fun parts in the film. Stanley Tucci was probably my favorite part. Just the fact that he actually added some sort of humanity, like, more so. It's just a different kind of trilogy that they're doing from the first one. Bumblebee barely had anything to do with it because he really didn't have anybody to protect. He was just hanging out and being jealous and stuff. Optimus Prime was kind of a jerk, so I was into that. And then the rest of the Transformers, I don't know their names. So there's John Goodman one.
And
Ken Watanabe
bot. Yeah, exactly.
Whose name is
Green Bot?
So he's the helicopter.
The little kind of racist bot. But they were cool, and I really like the villain. I just wish they gave him more screen time. And I think Galvatron was a waste of time. They should have just like, they shouldn't have given him any screen time and just made it mostly about Lockdown. Because Lockdown was cool.
I agree with that. Lockdown is.
Guess he's just locking it down.
It should have just been lock it down. Lock it down.
Yeah.
But I think that it wasn't as ridiculous as the third one, which is why I liked it so much. But this one just, it's a step in the right direction.
I just have a feeling that Michael Bay might be getting kind of bored making these kind of movies. I think the Shanghai, like, because you can't really top the third act for Dark of the Moon, because that thing was insane. Insane. But this one, you know, we really didn't have anything. Like, you had the Dinobots, but they didn't say anything, and that really bothered me. He should have said something.
Like Grimlock?
Yeah. Like, people are going to sit here and think about, like, logic things behind the plot, and, oh, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, they also have to understand it's a Transformers movie. Sometimes you kind of have to, because they don't care about your brain. You kind of just have to leave it at the door, because they don't care. And it's going to make a lot of money no matter what.
Which it did.
I mean, it was a full house here in Charlotte in a small theater. So I was like, oh, all right then. I guess Transformers is universal from coast to coast.
Abe?
I thought it was a very good summer movie. It certainly is one of those things where you just go in and you start watching it and it engages you in the way that a summer movie would in terms of action. There's no real letdown in terms of pacing. I mean, you have like your typical Michael Bay-isms in here, just like the other Transformers. You have girls in short shorts, ridiculous things that they first say when they first come out of a truck. Can't wait to get wasted. Woo! But you have Mark Wahlberg in here, which makes everything okay, actually. Cause he's a funny guy. He has some funny moments. The guy who I thought was kind of very strangely good in this was Kelsey Grammer. And I just thought, man, this guy is really menacing and he's delivering his line just like Sideshow Bob would. Very slow and low tone of voice. And for the most part, I dug his character up until the point where he has a one-on-one with Mark Wahlberg. And I just thought, this seems very out of character for this character. Anyhow, there's a lot of things that move on in this movie, which I wasn't a huge fan of. There's a lot of ideas like what Jordan said. There's a lot of characters, which I really didn't ultimately care for. And there was a certain point in the movie where I just stopped caring about what I was watching on screen because everything just kept on repeating itself. And by that, I mean there's just a slow-motion action scene, a slow-motion scene, a tearful scene with high-rising music, like some sunset scene. And it was a point where Stanley Tucci's on a rooftop and he's trying to deliver something to Mark Wahlberg. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to care who any of these characters are anymore because there are just so many of them. But for the most part, I think that it's a pretty good summer movie. I don't think it's a good movie overall, and I will nitpick it to death if anyone wants to ever nitpick it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it is better than the other. So take it for what it's worth.
I want to reemphasize the fact that we don't really, Abe and I, we don't know what we're all going to think about these movies before we review them. That's part of how we kind of put the show together.
That's our style.
That's our style. So, like, I'm surprised as everybody else that we're all basically kind of like, you know what? It's fine, because that's where I'm at with it. It's weird with these movies when they come out where the kind of vitriol that comes leveled at them makes me wonder, is like, well, what's the better version of Transformers? Like, what did I know how to make this movie better just by having less aggressive direction and less, basically less plots, because I don't know why any Transformers movie needs to be more than like 100 minutes. But like, I don't know what other way to put this on screen that makes it like suddenly a great idea for a movie. So with that said, it's like, yeah, it's another one of these. It's the fourth one. And the problems seem to be set in stone. Like, some of us might have been hoping that Michael Bay maybe has learned something in his time off of Transformers by doing Pain and Gain last year. I know that's something that Scott Mendelson, friend of the show, was hoping for, that he's kind of recharged his engines. Is like, now I can really dig into what makes a Transformers movie work. But no, he's just kind of content on making the same kind of thing again. But with the wise decision of basically removing the entire cast from the original films and putting in a new cast, which I generally liked. More or less. I think it's especially for as far as Mark Wahlberg, Stanley Tucci, and Kelsey Grammer, and Titus Welliver, yeah, who I think is quite menacing, actually, in this movie. But I mean, Wahlberg, he's at his most Wahlbergiest, with just tons of earnestness to going with his overprotective single father shtick, or just every other line when it doesn't involve him holding a sword that's a gun, has him saying, "I need to protect my daughter." Like, that's like everything he does in this movie. And Stanley Tucci's just hilarious. Like, he's just great in this movie. Just reacting to things and using, you know, hey, you asked me a while ago about product placement in movies, and I said I never really noticed it. This is the first time that I actually, like, really noticed it, like, a lot.
There's a lot of it in here.
There's a lot of it.
Look at the Bud Light.
The Bud Light,
yeah,
thing.
Bud Light.
Like, and when Stanley, because I saw, and seeing it in 3D, when Stanley Tucci holds, like, a Beats pill, like, at me in the screen, like, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so, like, it's, I mean, humans are around, and they basically just stitch together things for robots to do, like, which is kind of a big flaw of the series, because it's, like, the screenwriter, Aaron Kruger, like, I guess he's like, I'll just write humans do this, which leads to robots do that. Like, that seems to be the logic for why humans need to be involved in this movie, because it is about robots smashing into each other, and it looks great. I mean, say what you will about the quality of these movies, but you're getting these ILM computer-generated effects that are amazing, that are in complete broad daylight all the time. Like, as much as Alan and I love Pacific Rim, like, there's a lot of, you know, they're in darkness and rain in for a lot of that movie. And here, it's just broad daylight watching robots smash into it. There's no, you know, mystery about what's going on in these action sequences, because Bay puts it right there in front of you. Yeah. He really knows what he's doing in terms of showing you action. And having that 3D again, it slows him down. Like, that was something I liked about 3, where he can't have this aggressive, rapid editing pace because he has to slow down with these giant cameras. And even with 4, where he has these new IMAX 3D cameras, which is an amazing way to see this movie, by the way. It's like, it's, they're very comprehensible action sequences in this movie. And yeah, like, I agree with Abe. I can't say it's a good movie, but I can't say I wasn't entertained by what I was seeing, just because I walked into Michael Bay's fourth Transformers and expected to get what Michael Bay's fourth Transformers would have to offer, which is, right. You know, cute actors that are collecting a paycheck, but at least having fun, because it seems like they're having a lot of fun, mixed with giant, amazing robot battles that are, you know, well structured and look great, and especially on an IMAX screen where, like, the majority of the movie is, like, full-frame IMAX. Like, it's... I had a good time watching this with my friends. Like, it was for summer entertainment, I got this. There's better summer movies that I would advise anyone to go see. We've talked about them on the show.
Edge of Tomorrow,
yes.
Exactly.
How to Train Your Dragon 2. Not Jersey Boys. You know, any of these things. Like, I mean, it worked for me.
So how much of it was in IMAX?
Like 60% of it is like IMAX. Like, I'm not getting, like, all, like, there's so much of this movie that's full frame IMAX screen. It's ridiculous. Like, if there's a way to see this movie, and we'll get to our rating, but it's like, if you're going to see Transformers, you might as well see it on the biggest screen possible. Like, some of the robots are probably actual size based on this robot. So at least the IMAX screen.
Michael Bay went Steven Spielberg style. He just built actual giant Transformers. One of the things I did like, and you brought this up, so did Alan, is that it focuses a lot on the Transformers, and their battle scenes are fantastic, right? So it's very much, the title of the movie is Transformers, the other ones had Shia LaBeouf in them, and it had to do with this human element story. Whereas this one, yeah, sure, it has it, but you have these Transformers where they're very angry, too, and they have these emotional moments where they're just like, you know what? Screw Earth, we're leaving. Also, I hate everybody, and everyone's gonna die, so... have a good life. We'll see you.
I love how Optimus Prime is always threatening to kill people.
Well, no, the best is that he says, when I arrived on Earth, I took a vow to never kill humans. Like, that's the line he says. Then he proceeds to, like, murder, like, tons of people.
And he'll say things like, honor till the end. And then, like, a moment later, just turn into this, like,
well, what's weird,
psychotic warlord.
Like, well, when it comes to, like, when it comes to human battling, he's, like, shooting at the ground next to him to just kind of launch him in the air. Exactly. Yeah. But when it comes to fighting robots, he is killing fools, like, just ripping them apart and smashing faces. Like,
which is good. I mean, like,
as far as, yeah, crazy robot action goes.
He's gotta get his aggression out.
Well, I remember,
he
like,
was
Transformers.
Betrayed by the humans.
I remember Transformers 3 when we watched that. That movie, like, people are, like, legit dying all over the, like, robots are killing humans and they're turning into dust and stuff. And then when Optimus and Autobots are involved, if this was like a, if these were humans, the violence would be so graphic because they're just ripping apart robots and, like, smashing through their, uppercutting their faces and blasting their heads off. This movie, I mean,
if they were humans, it'd be so violent that HBO wouldn't air it.
Yeah. Like, for this movie, to be fair, like, I think there is a sense of toning down things, even though the movie's still unwieldily long with 106, like, it doesn't need to be this long at all, but I feel like it's less manic, I guess, is the way to say it. Like, cause, like, the humans aren't crazy people like they were in, like, the first couple movies. Like, they seem like relatively grounded people for a change, even though they're, you know, not particularly well-written characters. But, like, they don't seem like they're doing crazy things, such as, like, Shia LaBeouf's mom, like, getting high and then suddenly, like, being an insane asylum escapee, on Michael Bay College in the second movie. That second movie's ridiculous. But
I had no problem with that.
She like gets high and just starts like, I want to play frisbee, and just like running around like a crazy psychopath.
Yeah, like, what movie is this?
But like everyone here seems like they're reacting and saying stupid things, but like the humor seems, it's still forced, but it seems like less, like it just seems less manic. I mean, that's the way to put it, and it felt more concise in that way, where I feel like I was being dragged down by human plots, just more dragged down by the fact that there's so much plot.
And the other thing that I liked about the film is they address the human death factor. Tucci does it, like what Alan said. He brings some sense of some moral and some humanitarian aspect to it, which is like, hey, like there's a lot of people that have died here, and then Kelsey Grammer's just like, you know what? People die all the time, and at least they addressed it, which is something that I'm becoming more and more aware of ever since Man of Steel.
They bring it up, yes, and it felt almost uncomfortable for me to be like, wait, we're going back to Chicago, the place where everyone's afraid of like giant robot attacks happening again, only to have giant robots destroying their city a
Come
second
back
time.
To Earth. Yes. Again, we could kill this movie by nitpicking
it. It's like the PTSD involved in a lot of the people in Chicago must be like insane right now, because like they're back. Like, wait, we're not done. Like, aren't there other cities in this world that we could have dealt with?
Like, can't you Bay do somewhere else? Your tax breaks are pretty good, but come on, guys.
It'd be like if Michael Bay filmed Pearl Harbor 2 and like had Japanese attack Pearl Harbor again, and like let that play out just for the hell of it. That's what it felt like going back to Chicago. But thankfully,
don't give him any ideas.
But thankfully, at one point he's like, you know what? It's been 2 hours, but we could probably still go to another city and wreck that one for 45 minutes. So then he's like, let's go to Chicago. Let's go to China and Hong Kong,
yeah,
guys.
Let's go to Hong Kong and Beijing.
Yeah. And even then, when we have a climax in Hong Kong, we still have 25 minutes left. So let's bring in Dinobots. Let's have that happen as well.
One of the things I liked about this movie is they super tease you in the beginning with the dinosaurs, and then you're thinking, oh, this is the origin of the Dinobots, right? No, it's not. You'll see
there's
it later.
There's two separate like, there's, sets of Dinobots in this movie.
Yeah, there's no origin of Dinobots.
We get hints at origins of something, because they talk about creators sending like Boba Fett Transformer Lockdown over to like capture Optimus Prime. So I assume in the sequel we'll learn about what the creators of Transformers have to say about all this.
Well, wait, do you think that the creators from Transformers are going to have, like, a crossover promotion with the guys from Prometheus?
I hope so, now.
Right? Seems like the same thing.
It does seem like the same thing, and that's actually one of my callbacks as well.
I'm sure Aaron Kruger, like, wrote the screenplay thinking, man, I wasn't a huge fan of Prometheus, but they had some ideas. I'm going to freaking nail this time, guys. And he, like, proceeded to write the answer to Prometheus by having the script for Transformers, colon, Age of Extinction.
Cool. Thank you.
Get it. So, yes, I mean, obviously this movie's not good. I mean, we enjoy it, yeah. But
that was a lot of fun. Though.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to characterize it, which is, it's not a good movie, but it's enjoyable enough.
Oh, I'm going to watch it again tonight.
Well, it's like this.
You have 3 hours to spare, Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has nothing else.
I don't have anything here. Yeah. No, my boss and stuff are all going to go. We're going to watch it in IMAX because we saw it. My brother and I just saw it in a regular flat 2D, so we're going to go try it out 3D IMAX tonight.
Cool.
Because I'm curious what the IMAX screens down here are like.
Mm. So, I mean, so we're giving, like, praise to this movie, which is, like, the vitriol that comes out of these Transformers movies is insane. It's as if, like, I don't even know, like, you have, people say these movies are, like, they're so childish and weird, yet people turn into children describing them, because all they say is it's stupid. Dumb, and it's like, well, I mean,
it really is when you break it down.
It is, but it's
you.
It's the absurdity of claims made against the movie where they just don't understand what's going on. Where it's like, these movies are for kids. Like, I can complain about there being too much plot, but I'm never at a loss of what's happening. Mainly because they repeat it so many times. They're like, we got to get the seed to this place. Like, we got to take the seed.
Yeah,
seed.
But at some point, I got bored of that.
And yeah, I get, the plot's not good.
But again,
good,
I had to watch it because I wanted to know what happens, and there was also Dinobot action and Transformer action, so I was just like, whatever, I don't even care about the plot, just let's see some slow-mo action, you know, shots of dinosaurs and giant Transformers fighting.
I mean, not caring about it's one thing, but it's like, be constructive with feedback or other people, or they just don't seem to want to try, and be like, well, I mean, it's not hard. The movies are, these are, I mean, again, they're for kids. Like, kids can decipher what's happening here. They see things and they
there were a lot of youngins in my theater.
Which is which makes it more shocking that there's so much kind of hard PG-13 stuff happening.
Agreed.
Movies, such as Stanley Tucci swearing very, very obscenely.
Yeah, like there's a, I think like a few F-bombs dropped, a lot of S-bombs. And
there's one F-bomb, which I think's hilarious.
It's a funny thing, but I mean, if you want to nitpick Michael Bay's racism, then I guess you could nitpick Michael Bay's racism during that scene, which I didn't.
I think that would apply to any scene where something's blocking you. I don't think it directly applies to
but the last hard PG-13 I want to bring up is Kelsey Grammer and the way that he and Mark Wahlberg end their argument. I was like, wow, they actually showed that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and that one character at the beginning who's turned into like that ash statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, TJ Miller, he's a funny guy. He was comedy relief, and I was like, oh, what?
He was comedy relief that didn't feel, like, forced. It was like, oh, this is actually good, like, banter.
It's actually funny, yeah. And I was like, what are they doing? This is what my problem with the movie is. Just there's a lot of characters, and they did away with one guy that I thought was going to be funny throughout the entire film.
I mean, that was the thing I like, actually. There aren't that many characters. Compared to the other movies, where there's, like, all kinds of characters, there's just, like, four people to really follow in this one. And, two of them are just – four people are too many.
No,
compared to the 16 people in the last three
that's
movies.
That's true. I mean, the four main ones,
compared
but you
to,
have
compared
all these
Tyrese,
side ones.
Josh Duhamel, Anthony Anderson, Shia LaBeouf, John Voight.
Anthony Anderson.
John Voight, like, all these people, like, in all these
that
other
British
movies.
Hacker.
British
hacker.
Who's the tall guy who
Rachel
plays –
Rachel Taylor, like, all these people in that first movie,
We're forgetting some guy, John DeTroco.
We're forgetting a lot of people, because there's a lot of people in all the other movies.
No, but there's a lot of people in this one, too.
Megan Fox.
There's main characters, but then there are all these side characters which you don't really care about. Like, some geologist who shows up twice in the film and then has a larger role at the end. An Asian secretary who's also an ex-cop or something and running operations in China. And then, I don't know, some Asian guy in an elevator that beats up some other guy because he's Asian.
Was that Asian girl? Like the younger sister to Maggie Oh,
Lee Bingbing? Yeah, sure. That's her name.
It's like essentially the same character from the Die Hard movie. I was just trying to be
and,
racist.
And Thomas Lennon is
Lennon is in there. Yeah.
These are all just bit parts, though. They like have a scene or two. Like everyone in the other movies, it's like there's just plot after plot after plot after plot. It's like, this is just for somehow this is still like over three, almost 3 hours. Yet there's like way less of the things that I dislike. I guess kind of. Even though there's just more of the same stuff that I already dislike, going with what I enjoy in a goofy sort of way. It's nonsense. This movie is nonsense, but it's, I mean, for what it is, it's well-produced nonsense, which is why I guess we find it engaging in its own way.
I like how Stanley Tucci has a shot from the last movie of the Transformers rising from the moon and his one little clip.
He's got the hookups.
Did no one else catch that?
He's got the hookups in this one.
Yeah.
Is Stanley Tucci, who plays this kind of Steve Jobs-like character that's trying to develop American-produced, or I guess American/Chinese-produced Transformers himself, so then the world will truly not need Transformers anymore, and he does so by having Kelsey Grammer's Elite Squad murder Transformers and bring their materials to him.
That's because he needs a Transformium.
Transformium, he needs it.
Yeah.
Mr. Yeager, who do you think I work for? You're trying to protect your family. That's admirable. I'm trying to defend the nation from alien war. We've had a taste of what that looks like, and we are not going to tolerate another. Now, you have no idea what you're involved with here.
Really? What's the other version of this conversation? The one you sent in the hired help to murder my little girl? Or are you going to man up and do it yourself?
What's your preference?
It's just like when he was in the core and he did unobtainium. Like, it's, I hope he's in an Avatar
sequel.
See,
I bought them calling it transformium a lot easier than I bought unobtainium. Because they even said it's for marketing. It's fine.
And they trademarked it, which I thought was funny that they added that because you do need to do that.
I mean, I buy unobtainium because it's a real life term. That's not something that was made up. Like, I think that exists. I have no real problem.
But it sounds ridiculous, Aaron.
Most things sound ridiculous. So does transformium.
Oh wait, did you guys? Is it me? Okay, I looked at the budget, and it's $165 million for this movie.
$1 million a minute?
Minutes? Yeah. Like, I thought that was really inexpensive for this movie.
Yeah, it is. It's the second cheapest of the four. But the money looks all on screen, which I appreciate as well. Like, it looks like it's all there. which I think that applies for every Michael Bay movie. Michael Bay, by the way, I think is the only director who probably like wraps up every movie by saying, this is my masterpiece. Like, I feel like every movie he wraps up, that's like what he thinks.
Bad Boys 2. This is my masterpiece. Yeah. Well, did you not see that Ferrari car chase on the highway? Good old Michael Bay. But yeah, no, for the most part, again, visual praises on it, but as far as the film goes, whatever. It's something that you should never think about too hard.
Well, that's the other thing, too. That's why I don't really care, or that's why I don't, like, focus on what I thought of Transformers, because I'm not going to, you know, remember it in a week. Like,
I don't remember it today. I just saw it yesterday.
I'm not going to still linger on it a week's time from now. It's a thing that I saw that I was entertained by for a bit, and now I'm moving on. Like, you know, next thing. And I've already seen two movies since Transformers that I love a lot. One that I love a lot more. It's like, I'm the only reason I'm thinking about Transformers is because we're talking about it right now. Like, but everyone wants to complain and bring it up again and again and again, yet still shell out the money to go see it. It's like, okay.
I agree with my theory
with the Transformers movies is that they're not movies for you to like or love. They're movies for you to enjoy. So,
which, I mean, that seems to be working since it made $100 million this weekend. It's the only movie this summer that's done that in one weekend so far. Like, everyone wanted to like this movie or wanted to go see it, regardless of their opinions on it. And I even say that, say, thinking that a majority of that are people that legit like Transformers movies. Like, you're not making $100 million on the fourth movie because everybody hates it. Like, there's people that want to go see these movies.
Right. And, I mean, if you think that that's kind of an embellishment, think about How to Train Your Dragon 2. That's a good movie, too, and people should go see that, but it hasn't really made as much as the first one, and it's running so far.
Not on the same par, yeah. I mean, I could chalk it up to a crowded summer, maybe, but I mean, yeah, it's not doing nearly as well as some of us might have predicted on our summer wager, that's for sure.
Yep.
Maleficent is, though, but just saying. But, yeah, any other thoughts on Transformers, Age of Extinction, before we wrap up with that one?
I really, really loved the, all the aliens in the prison, and I was dying to see more of those.
Yeah, like, that's what it looks like the sequel's leading towards.
I'm glad that John Goodman got a kill one, because I was like, yes, thank you.
John Goodman's amazing. John Goodman, it's like clear, was like, you know what? We have John Goodman. Let's just give him every line we can and just make him super active in the third act of this movie, because he's all over it. Like, and I loved it. I love seeing John Goodman running around as, like, fat Transformer with a cigar in his mouth.
Which is his last resort.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see more of that kind of explored, I guess, if we're going to... I don't know why we just don't have an all-CG Transformers movie at this point. Just, like, get rid of all this, make it, you know, 90 minutes, and just let people enjoy, like, seeing Transformers go to space or something and do whatever.
Make it possible. Apparently that's what Optimus Prime is doing right now, which, again, if you want to nitpicker it, there's an alien spaceship that can go light speed, and yet Optimus Prime is flying out into space himself.
Doing the Superman thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they can go light speed. Optimus can go, like, 157 miles per hour.
I don't know. We don't know what Optimus can do. We didn't know he could fly until this movie. Like, maybe he can go light speed.
Listen, I don't think Optimus is the guy that thinks things through. He's just like, this is going to look cool.
That's the other thing,
it.
Yeah.
This is going to look cool when I do
that's the.
He's the worst leader of all time.
He's a terrible leader. And this is the movie where he finally actually leads to, like, a better degree, because he's able to domesticate Dinobots in order to have them fight with him in the last battle of this movie. Let me just repeat that. He's able to domesticate Dinobots by slapping them around a couple times. That's
well, I mean, he challenged them. That's, you know, he became the alpha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
He's like Liam Neeson.
No, he's like...
No, so what happened is that he just ended up watching... He just ended up watching How to Train Your Dragon 2. That's how he learned how to train the Dinobots.
Yeah. He's got, like, this Jedi fire sword. Which, he does have a sword. He just needs, like, fire around it now.
He's got a sword. He's got shields. He's got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, then, let's get to this movie. Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Yeah, I mean, totally get how divisive it can be. I just didn't care about how divisive it
was. Well, it's not even divisive. It's not like I hear many people arguing in his corner behind, besides us four. it's not like there's some kind of war going on between humans right now about whether they like Transformers or not. It's just like laying it on thick of like how much they hate this movie. It's like, I don't have
Kelsey Grammer thing. It's either us versus them.
I don't have time to hate. Them. I don't have time to hate. Like, that's boring to me. It's just like, whatever. I saw this movie and it happened. Move on. Yeah. Next week.
Well, I'm going to see it again.
Let's go watch Snowpiercer.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get to our rating then. Let's rate this movie. Each week we rate movies based on basically when you should go and see it. That's what I'm gonna ask you. When should you go see Transformers Age of Extinction? Jordan?
Well, I haven't seen it in IMAX, but I'm going to say IMAX.
Alan?
Probably an IMAX matinee. Seems like a good popcorn film in the middle of the day with your family or something.
There you go. Abe?
Given its length and given its lack of substance, I'd say you could just watch it at home on DVD with a nice screen and good sound.
I'd never watch it on DVD, that's for sure. I'd watch it on Blu-ray, if anything, because it's
Blu-ray, sure.
Clear.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're gonna go, if you need to see a Transformers movie, I mean, IMAX is the way to go see it. Like, if you have no interest in it, then I just, you know, say not see it, because you're not gonna, if you're going in thinking you're gonna hate it, you're gonna hate it. So just don't bother seeing it to begin with. But if you, you know, have a desire to see a movie called Transformers Age of Extinction, then go see it on the IMAX screen how it was intended. Alright. So with that said, let's get a movie callback.
Callback.
This is where we bring up some movies that we might have thought of during or after the feature of the week. And with that, Jordan, any movies you thought of?
I thought of Gremlins at the beginning, and Randall Peltzer being the clumsy inventor, kind of like Cade Yeager. And then, of course, Prometheus. That's about it.
Alan?
Oh, you know, Prometheus, Fievel, because I'm weird. Fievel Goes West. I just couldn't get it out of my head. The other Transformers movies, obviously, Short Circuit, Batteries Not Included, The Patriot, because I'm weird, like a dude just doing everything for his family, Chronicles of Riddick, because of the weapons, and Star Trek, because of all the cool, like, little aliens in lockdown. That's
Abe?
About it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Abe?
I thought of Friday Night Lights, Prometheus, Return of the King, Disney's Holes, and The Avengers.
Disney's Holes?
He's inventing stuff, like... He's like, oh, I'm going to make, like, I think Henry Winkler's the father. He's just like, I'm going to make shoes that never smell. It's like, okay, you're a terrible inventor, by the way.
Yeah, I thought of Pacific Rim, Godzilla, Bad Boys 2. And yeah, Prometheus actually did come into mind when I was thinking about this movie.
Bad Boys 2.
My masterpiece.
Well, how can you not think of Bad Boys 2 in any movie?
Yeah, that's generally a go-to for anything. But yeah, that's movie callbacks.
Callback.
Get to our sponsor for the week. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/shotnowpodcast. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners out now there, and Abe, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. With that said, Abe, do you have a book to recommend?
I really do not maybe have one ready to recommend. Because it is so, so vast, and there are so many. I think you'd have to go with something like, I don't know, The Philosophy of Mind, Brains, Consciousness, and the Thinking Machines, right? Yes.
Because if you didn't get enough from Transformers, this will really inform you.
It certainly will.
Yeah, who's that by, Abe?
That's by The Great Courses, and it's narrated by Professor Patrick Grimm. And it's getting 4.5 stars there from 42 reviews. So, you know, expand your knowledge. It's 12 hours and 30 minutes for free.
Okay. Well, you can get that book or any other book you find at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. You can download the book. You can check out the service for a while. If you don't like the service, you can get rid of it, but you get to keep the book that you downloaded for free anyway. So there you go. Be a winner. Read or listen. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. So let's move on now. Let's get to Out Now Feedback.
Feedback.
This is where we go over the various listener responses we had to our Facebook questions that we asked during the week regarding, you know, Transformers and whatever else. And with that said, Abe, you want to start off our feedback here?
I certainly do. The first question we asked is, what Transformers do you want to see on the big screen? Mike writes, I want to see a non-Michael Bay version. Brian writes, Unicron, so he can kill them all for once. Bob writes, no more, please. Make a Beast Wars movie instead. And lastly, Justin writes, the original animated movie.
That's a good call. Next up we have, if we didn't have visual effects and just had actors running around in plastic and cardboard boxes of Transformer suits, I need to see this, what actors would play the robots in question? Eric has Andy Serkis as Starscream, John Hamm as Optimus Prime, and Michael Clark Duncan as Ironhide, and Michael Ironside as Megatron. Joe Jans has Patrick Stewart as Optimus Prime. Joshua has John Wayne as Optimus Prime. Definitely need to see that one. And Mike Jones has Shaq as Grimlock.
Next question we asked is, what types of music does Optimus Prime listen to on his radio? Corey writes, anything by Stan Bush?
Yeah.
From the show, Scott Middleton writes, judging by his disposition, I'm thinking whatever conservative political talk radio can pick up at any given moment. In all seriousness, though, he's got nothing but Sarah McLachlan on his iPod. I guess Adia is his favorite. Jason writes, any type of rock and country music? Yeah, probably pretty fitting there. Joshua writes, I think Optimus is Juggalo at heart and plays insane clown posse to get his pumped up fight with Megatron. I really hope I'm wrong. And Justin writes, I was going to say Out Now Podcast. Also, Super Fantastic Nerd Hour. There you go. Thanks for the shout-outs there. Shout-out. Next question is, any cool movie experiences or memories from the past 4th of July's that you've had in your life? And Eric writes, it's not the best story, but the 4th always reminds you of swimming to exhaustion, then watching Broken Arrow. Yeah.
Ain't it cool?
Yeah.
You guys have any 4th of July movie memories?
Independence Day.
I do too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched Independence Day like every day that first weekend it came out.
Yeah.
If not Sandlot, I always watched Sandlot around 4th of July.
Yeah, and think of the song, right, from Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Correct.
This, all right. with the movie in the can, reviews what are what they are, and money what is what it is. What's Michael Bay doing this weekend? Eric says, scheming on how to beat John Woo when it comes to gratuitous explosions and dynamic action sequences because somehow he has to eclipse Woo so completely that he's still trying. George has probably looking at his bank statement, laughing at the reviews, and sipping champagne in a hot tub full of supermodels. Lucky bastard. And Jason has blowing shit up and blow rockets up into midair. He does this and his movies when he drinks Red Bull.
Gives you wings, I guess. Not a sponsor. Next, we'll move to questions. Everyone can answer if you have a question or if you have an answer.
Yeah, listeners asked us some questions as well, which we're gonna answer ourselves now.
Yeah, Eric asks us, how much longer do you think we can pull the whole Optimus Prime dies thing before the audience stops caring?
Yeah, in the past couple, Optimus Prime did kind of fake his death, he died in the second one, then he faked his death in the third one. This one, he seems pretty. He gets captured, I guess. So, I guess they've moved on from the Optimus Prime dies thing. Even in the first one, he's like, you know what? I don't need to fight Megatron. Just shove the cube in my chest. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I'll take it for the team here.
Martyr time. Let's do this, guys.
Shabu's like, no, I need you for the next two.
You know, he seems like he's more game than ever now that he's got his mojo back at the end of 4. So.
New body, new fit. Yeah, new physique.
All right, so next question. Jason asks, what do you guys think of Shane Black directing and writing a new Predator film? Second question, could Shane Black make a good Terminator film? We'll go with that second one first. I don't care. Terminator films, whatever. I'm sad to say that franchise has exhausted me, but even though we're getting
James
another
Cameron
one.
James Cameron did the best Terminator film.
Yeah.
He did everything I need to see in a Terminator film.
Basically. What? Whatever. McG. Hello.
Yeah, that's a movie that happened. Anyway, the other first question. Shane Black directing a Predator film. Yeah, I'm down with it.
I'm down with it too.
It's funny that he was, he was once in Predator, and now he's directing Predator.
Hawkins in Predator.
Yeah.
He's the first one that gets killed and skinned alive.
But the fact that him and Fred Decker, who they co-wrote and put out a Monster Squad together, makes me think, man, this is the guys are getting back together again to make another great monster movie. The boys are back in town, Abe. That's exactly right.
Then James asks us, what are your feelings on pirating and password sharing on streaming services? Is this sharing a lesser or no crime equal to pirating? I think we've answered this one before.
No, the password sharing we haven't answered before.
Not with password sharing. That one, I actually haven't really heard of that one as much. In terms of pirating, I mean, certainly it's not great. We don't endorse that here on Out Now with Aaron and Abe at all. But, I mean, it is something that people do, and you can't really stop it because then you'd have to regulate everyone's internet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't encourage pirating in any way. I don't do any pirating myself, so I mean, it's not a thing that necessarily makes me, happy about. But it is a thing that happens, and I can't really do anything from where I'm sitting currently. But future will kind of dictate where things go on that. I guess that's kind of the way, just as technology evolves and things happen differently. As far as password sharing goes, I mean, yeah, between Netflix and HBO Go, there's a lot of people sharing their passwords around in order to access things like Game of Thrones or whatnot, and, various, movies on Netflix and that, what have you. And, I mean, It seems like those are services that could limit that themselves if they wanted to, and they know it's happening. So I don't know what to really say.
They could easily do things like single sign-on and a single location.
Like I think, which, doesn't Netflix do that now?
No, they were trying to. I guess they were just losing viewership. Maybe, I don't know.
Same with like HBO Go. Like HBO Go crashes because everyone shares their password. Yeah.
There are certainly things that people can do. It's not as though it's a hopeless situation. So there you go. Media companies.
Eric then asks, Echo, Escape to Witch Mountain, Batteries Not Included, or Super 8, and why?
I can't even remember Batteries Not Included.
Super 8, because it's good.
Which one was Batteries Not Included? Remind A of Batteries Not Included.
See, I don't see that. I think Super 8 is just a much better movie. Remember, I was on the podcast for that, and I love it.
No, I know. I'm asking you, which one's Batteries Not Included?
Batteries Not Included? It's kind of like a ripoff of Short Circuit. Like, there's like, they find... I don't really know how to describe that one. That one's just, it's from the 80s, so you know it's gonna be kind of cheesy. and like, some waitress, I think, this is what I saw. I think the last time I saw it was like, I was still in elementary school. So, some waitress finds all these little robot things, like alien robots, and then they kind of just help her out at the restaurant. It's kind of cute a little bit, then the government comes and finds them, and shit goes down.
This just sounds amazing. I don't know what the problem
is. it's not my thing. There's a reason I haven't watched it since then. But you know.
Yeah. Jordan, you have a dog in this fight?
Not really. I don't really care about any of them.
Abe?
I guess I'd have to go with Super 8 minus the third act.
Yeah, that's where I am, too. I mean, which Escape to Witch
Mountain? Although, yeah, it's like the one with the rock?
The one with the rock? Is that called Escape, or is that called Race to Witch Mountain?
That was Race to Witch Mountain.
Yeah, because Escape to Witch Mountain is like a weird movie where it's like, we've remade this like 8 times. Like, for some reason, people can't get enough of people that are like witches or aliens or whatever the hell they want to call them and go into this mountain.
Yeah.
I'll just take Close Encounters. I'll go with that. That's my choice for this question.
Take that, Eric.
Just get the best of the best.
Eric's not pleased, by the way. That's not an option, buddy.
He's fuming. He's in his car right now, just like turning into a boiling, raging teapot. Yeah. Like, no!
That's the steam coming out from his ears.
Yeah. He's like the end of Army of Darkness when Bruce Campbell like takes the thing and his head just like blows up. And he's like, okay. That's the reference I'm going for, guys. Army of Darkness. that's the last question, by the way. That's out now. Feedback. Thank you, all the listeners, including Eric, for you know, putting out answers and questions for us to
Grazie mille.
Yeah. So let's move on now. Let's get to actually, what time is it?
Oh, Aaron, I think it's time for some games here.
That improvised theme does mean it's time for games. I have a game this week, guys. It is a Transformers quiz. And yeah, you guys are about to experience this Transformers quiz. I have 10 questions here. They're all multiple choice. Buzz in and say what you think is the correct answer first. And, you know, we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Sounds good?
Yes.
Alan, you ready?
See.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alan loves games, so he's super excited for this. Here we go. So these are all multiple choice, so make sure to buzz off your name first before you answer. Okay. Who was the first Transformer to ever appear on the first Transformer television series? Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, Megatron, or Wheeljack?
Abe, Wheeljack.
Wheeljack is the correct answer. How'd you know that, Abe?
I just figured that they wouldn't show anybody that's knowable now. I don't know.
Okay. Here's the next question. What was the Transformers cartoon called in Japan? Warcraft Megaforce Changers? Fight Super Robot Lifeform Transformers? Robots from Space? Or Transform?
Bzzz, Alan.
Yep.
The second one?
Fight Super Robot Lifeform Transformers?
Yeah.
That is the correct answer. Alan, you're on the board.
Woo! Wonderful.
Okay. Next one here. What old school device does Soundwave become when he's a not in humanoid form? A record player, an 8-track cassette player thing, a cassette player, or a gramophone?
Alan.
Yep.
The cassette player.
Cassette player is the correct answer. Okay. Next question here. Which classic film star inspired the voice of Optimus Prime? John Wayne, Paul Newman, Sean Connery, or Mickey Rooney?
Abe, John Wayne.
John Wayne is the correct answer.
Woo!
Jordan, you gotta get on this board here.
I don't like this game.
I mean, all you have to do is try. Here's the next question. What change does Bumblebee undergo between the original series and the new live-action movies? He died in the original series, but was brought back to life in the live-action movie. He used to be an Autobot, but now he's a Decepticon. He used to change to a VW Beetle, but now he changes into a Camaro. He used to change to a Bee, but now he changes into a Wasp.
Jordan, the Beetle.
Yes, that's the correct answer.
Yes.
Jordan got the gimme question. Way to go, Jordan.
Yes.
Oof. Next question. What legendary actor-director voiced Unicron in the 1987 film Transformers? Buzz
Allen.
Yep.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles is the correct answer.
What?
Actually, that's cool.
Yeah, he died right after that movie, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like Vincent Price doing Edward Scissorhands.
But he did a good job. That animated movie is still the best Transformers movie there is.
It's a real good movie.
It is. Do a commentary for it. What was Transformers renamed when it was updated and released as a new series in the 1990s? Space Robots, Planet Robot, Robo Changers, or Beast Wars?
Alan, Beast War.
There you go.
Alan.
Yeah.
Alan trying to win a game.
I know, is it weird?
He tries all the time.
I always try. I'm very competitive sometimes.
Which character was the only Transformer to be voiced by the same actor in the original series, 1987 movie, and new live-action movies?
Buzz, Jordan, Peter Cullen.
That's correct.
Wow. Jesus.
Optimus Prime.
Second gimme question.
Shut up.
Which Transformer was brought back to life after his death sparked public outcry? Optimus Prime, Jazz, Prowl, or Sideswipe?
Alan.
Optimus Prime. Oh, damn it.
I'm going to give it to Jordan.
Fine.
Okay, last question.
Who's winning?
I think
we're all tied.
I'll find out when I do the last question. Hold on.
Ooh, I love what those gimme questions.
What is the name of the Transformers god? Primus, Cybertron, Unicron, or
Cybertron.
Optimus Prime?
No, wait, no, goddamn.
Alan answered. Primus, Cybertron, Unicron, or Optimus Prime?
Hey, Unicron.
Unicron is the correct answer. This might have cost Alan the game. Let's see.
I don't know. I think he was.
Hold on. Abe has three.
Yeah.
We all had three, I think.
No, I think you got like four or five, Alan.
No, Alan has four. Alan is our winner.
Oh, okay.
Alan won by one. You both had three. Alan, you won this game.
Oh, yes, I did.
You should know that I had a bonus question to ask in case there was a tie.
Do it anyway.
Okay.
Two for second place with Jordan and Abe.
Here we go. Tyrese or Josh Duhamel?
Abe, Tyrese. Why? Have you not seen the Django Unchained video he sent it to Quentin Tarantino?
Jordan, do you have an answer?
Tyrese.
You're both wrong. It's secret answer, Patrick Dempsey. That was the correct answer.
Damn it!
I like that.
Yeah. Mick, whatever his face is.
That's not the correct answer.
It was. I wrote it down, so I mean it's correct.
Yeah. I mean, I would have gotten that.
P. Demps?
P. Demps, as they call him.
Yeah. I mean, that's his street name, right? P. Demps.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Waiting? Are you reconfiguring the answers?
No, I was wrong. Unicron is not the Transformer god. Primus is the Transformer god.
That's what I said.
Alan still wins. Because he's ahead.
Now, did Primus name themselves after the Transformer god, or did the Transformer god name itself after Primus?
I think the answer is chicken.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Or egg. Could be egg. I'm not sure.
I gave the answer. anyway, so that was games. Let's move on now. Let's go to Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. And not a lot, which I think is because of the July 4th weekend coming up, so not many things coming out, but a few things. Legend of Korra Season 2 hits Blu-ray this week.
Watch it.
Yeah, Legend of Korra is a solid show. A movie called Afflicted comes out this week, which I believe was a found footage horror movie, which I heard good things about, so I want
to
check it out.
It's not a sequel to Affliction with Nick Nolte?
Yeah, he's back. Hey guys, I don't know.
Why can't I catch the whale? That's even warrior.
Yeah, Afflicted. And then I just wanted to point this out because it's coming on Blu-ray for the first time. Kindergarten Cop. It's coming out.
Yeah, there you go. It's good. Don't be surprised when Arnold Schwarzenegger is killing people in the first 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, that's coming out. Next week's show. I don't know yet.
We're not sure.
Talking about.
I mean, we could talk about the Eric Bana movie.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Because I think that would provide probably some of the more interesting comments.
Yeah, I don't plan on seeing Tammy, so I don't really.
Yeah. I mean, it's also.
And we don't really do comedies anyway on this show because it's just hard to kind of.
Earth to Echo is a family movie, I suppose. But yeah, we might just do Deliverance from Evil, or we could do something special. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out. I know Snowpiercer spreads to more theaters this week.
Might do Snowpiercer.
We'll see. We'll see where that goes.
The only comedy you should do on the show is the one about my life.
Okay.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum.
God.
But last question here before we wrap up. What should people go see now? This is where you just simply tell what you think people should go and see in the theaters right now. Jordan?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay. Alan?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Abe?
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah, I would say How to Train Your Dragon 2 as well, and...
But that movie's going to make something. Edge of Tomorrow is going to make nothing.
He needs to make more, yeah, but I said Edge of Tomorrow already.
We
try not to repeat ourselves too often. That's why we have guests, so they can do the new things for us. And Snowpiercer is only on 8 screens right now, but see that if you can.
Snowpiercer.
Okay. All right, so with all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work at thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at ysalu.com for all my Blu-ray reviews. You can also find me on Twitter, at aaronsps4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose, #WorldCup.
Jordan?
Twitter, at amsterdamchap.
And Alan?
You can find me on Instagram, which is Aldo Rain, ALDO_RAYNE. I just started a new blog called Angels in the Queen City on WordPress. It's mostly just about me being from California and having to deal with Charlotte. I want to do one once a week, but I already did one, so the next one will probably be this week because I've already been here a week, so I can be like, this place is weird.
What's the name of it again?
Angels in the Queen City.
Angels in?
See, because I'm from the City of Angels.
Your City of Angels, right.
And yeah. Charlotte is known as the Queen City of the South, so.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I did a lot of research before I came out here, and it didn't do anything for me.
I'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
It didn't do anything for me.
It really didn't. It's like, it's human. Yeah, I figured that out, but then it's just weird. People are super friendly here, but
that's
I'm
great.
Not used to it because I'm a Yankee. the good thing is that I'm from California, because if I was from New York, they would f***ing hate me.
Yeah, they'd probably be like, go back to New York. You need
no, because they have like a bunch of like weekend New Yorkers that come down and like just mess with their stuff.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, I'm just like California
bringing
dude.
Bringing rats and trash, yeah, those New mm-hmm. Yorkers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then they bring the actual pets, yeah.
So, with all that Charlotte talk out of the way, you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher, as well as at hhwlod.com. That is the podcast network that hosts our show, along with other fun podcasts involving games and comics and fun stuff like that.
You can find our episodes over at outnow.podomatic.com, as well as our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast.
You can also email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Transformers, how wrong we are for liking this dreaded piece of filmmaking, or whatever else you want to say.
You can also check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, or you can tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And, of course, you can follow our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com, or feel free to use our voicemail line, 972-798-3830. Send us your vocal thoughts on, you know, various thoughts on the movies we talked about on this show, and we'll be happy to play it on the future episodes. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you, Jordan and Alan, for making this work.
Thank you.
Yeah. East Coast, West Coast, we got to stop that rivalry.
Yeah. Good to have you guys on. Good to talk about Transformers as we did for our what I figure is our legendary 17th episode of this podcast, the Transformers Dark of the Moon episode, mm-hmm. which I'll be sure to put in the show notes as well.
It's the peak of my life.
There you go. And
everything was going so well.
And now, or until next time, that's gonna do it. So long.
And bye.
Thank you. Miss you. Bye.
Bye. Chickens before they hatch. You better sell some wine.
she then forget to leave a tip.
Dude, I'm stupid. Come on, I'm dude, I'm stupid.
It's so easy to do.
Dude, I'm stupid.
We're all waiting for you. Let's go.
But anyway, here we go. Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Falling.
God damn it. Transformers, Age of Extinction.